He was not only a Pharisee, but he was a member of the Jewish ruling council, which means he was high up in the religious and social order of Israel during that day. While most of the other Pharisees wanted to get rid of Jesus, Nicodemus seems to be intrigued with him. I don't know to what degree he's intrigued, and I don't know why he comes to an encounter with Jesus to the point that he seems like he has to hide that time. But when he comes to him, he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus recognized there was something unique about Jesus, and he was intrigued about him. And so he comes, probably at night, when none of the other Pharisees would see him, and comes to Jesus in this conversation. When he talked about Jesus being coming from God, this man from Galilee got straight to the point. Listen to what he said. "I say to you truly, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Look at the words. Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Look at the next phrase. It's evident Nicodemus doesn't understand. Should he have? He's a Pharisee who should know the Old Testament scriptures, sometimes backwards and forwards, but he doesn't understand what Jesus says. Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, "I don't think I understand that. So how can a man be born when he's old? I'm an old man, Jesus. How can I be born again? Are you saying that I have to somehow get inside my mother's womb again and be born? Is that what you're saying?" Listen to his words a second time. "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water," that's that natural birth, "and the Spirit." Because Nicodemus, even if you could go back and be in your mother's womb again and be born again, you would still be flesh. Because flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. So why is this encounter more important to us today than probably any other encounter he had? Can I say that if you expect to see the kingdom of God, and if you expect to enter the kingdom of God, according to the words of Jesus, you must be born again? We've kicked that phrase around in religious circles a lot. I'm not certain we totally understand it. This is the first place born again is mentioned in Scripture. The second place you'll see in 1 Peter chapter 1, and if you'll look at verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Remember that in this book of 1 Peter, he is writing to what he calls strangers and aliens on this earth. People who had been born again by the Spirit of God and who were living as citizens of heaven, but living on this earth and getting around on this earth, even though they were not citizens here. And he says to them in verse 23 of chapter 1, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." What's the difference? When you were born physically, you were born with perishable seed. When your mother and father decided to have a child, and she went through 9 months of pregnancy and you were born from imperishable or from perishable seed that came from your father, Adam. And that seed which is perishable wound up being perishable in you. So you are perishing. You are going to perish in this natural form, in this natural body. But this verse said, when you were born again or born of the Spirit, you were born not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, by the living and enduring Word of God. Or this new birth, this spirit birth, comes about when the Spirit of God is united with the Word of God, and the heart of a believer who will accept that truth, God does something on the inside of him that produces a spirit birth that makes him not only a physical, natural body, but he also has a spirit life on the inside that's birthed in him. As I was thinking about this, I found a verse of Scripture, oddly enough, in the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel is prophesying about things that's going to happen with Israel, that is a clear description of this new birth. So will you turn back and look in the book of Ezekiel and look at chapter 36. Now look what he says to him, beginning in verse 26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." What does that verse say? I think that verse says, God says, "I am going to put in you a new nature and a new disposition. I am going to remove from you that hard heart of stone and put in you a pliable heart of flesh." Verse 26, note the description. The new birth occurs when the Spirit of God puts in you a new nature and a new disposition. Let me try to tenderly make this statement. When God births us into His family, He puts in us a new nature that's different than the one we've been living with all our lives. And He puts in us a new disposition that's different than the disposition that we've lived with all our lives. Have you ever heard anybody say, I have a type A personality, and this is just the way I am. You have to take me just as I am. Well, when the Spirit of God birthed in you a new nature and a new disposition, He changed what you were before. If you live in the Spirit of God, you have no right to be totally the same as you were before you were born again. You can't be that. Is that important? Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. If you expect to enter the kingdom of God, you must receive, or there must be birthed in you, a new nature and a new disposition. Again, let me say it as tenderly as I can. If you are the same old cuss you've always been, you probably ought to question whether or not you've been born again. Is that important? That's extremely important. Because if I have never been born again, that means I'll not even see the kingdom of God. Brian pointed out last week eloquently that everything God has, Satan has a counterfeit to. Every truth you're here this morning, Satan has counterfeited it in one way or another. So what's he done with this new nature, this new disposition? Well, you know, we've become religious. If I join the church, and if I'm baptized, or if I make a profession of faith, or if I come to the altar, that must mean I'm born again. No, that's not even your work. This work of the new birth is the work of the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and birthing it on the inside of you. Look at the next verse, verse 27. And I will put my spirit, that's a different spirit than verse 26. Verse 26 said, I will put a new spirit in you and will remove from you your heart of stone. I'll replace that spirit that has motivated your life all the time with a new spirit in you. And then on top of that, I'm going to put my spirit inside of you, and those spirits will be one. That's the reason the scripture said we are one with Him. That's the reason the scripture said we have the mind of Christ. Because God places His Spirit on the inside of the new spirit that He gives us and the new nature that He gives us. And that new nature means I now am one with Him because I am now a part of His family. That's not my work. That's the work of the Spirit of God. That's not my ability, that's the ability of the Spirit of God. So when Satan counterfeits things that are truth, or when Satan counterfeits things that are clearly of God and can only be of God, he counterfeits it with a religious system that gets us tied up in a religious culture and a religious service and a religious work to get us to heaven. They won't get you there. The only way I can see the kingdom of God, the only opportunity I'll have to enter the kingdom of God, is because the Spirit of God has birthed His nature in me. And that nature does some things that's different. Look at the rest of that verse. I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Look what God said. God said, when I put my Spirit in you, I will move you to follow my decrees. I will move you to be careful to keep my laws. Who's going to do that? Not me, because I can't do that. That takes the Spirit of God. There's a verse in Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 13, that says it is God who wills in you to do His good pleasure. In other words, if God does not birth inside me a desire to do His will and be like Him, then I can't muster that up. I can't bring that about. That takes the Spirit of God. Can I make this statement again? Brian, do you mind if I make the statement again? Everything, every truth God has, Satan has a counterfeit for. And most of it will involve religion. Being born again is not a makeover of what you were. Being born again isn't deciding that I want to be religious. Being born again isn't determining that I want a profession in a religious system. Being born again is not a makeover of me. Being born again is a brand new creation. Being born again is something completely new. Tim, is that true? You see, being born again just doesn't make this over. It doesn't help this to be better. It's not helping this to be better. It is a new creation in Christ. Now let me say three things quickly. That brand new creation does some things in you. It causes you, it enables you to be what you cannot naturally be. Think about it. It causes you to be what you cannot naturally be. What do I mean? John chapter 1, can you find that one? John chapter 1, and look at verse 12, I think. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, yet to all who receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. To those who received Him, He gave the right to become a son of God. to those who the Spirit of God worked through the truth of the Word and the heart was open to receive Him, He gave the right to become a son of God. If you have been born again, you are now birthed into the family of God as His son. Try as you will, you cannot muster that up in the natural man. You can never become a son of God by getting yourself by the bootstraps and lifting yourself up. You can't be that. God gives you the ability to be something that you cannot naturally be. In 2 Peter, I don't think you have this one. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse, or 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, He said His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power. Where is that divine power? Birthed on the inside of us when we were born again. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So He enables us and He empowers those who are born again. To have an abiding, intimate relationship with the Father. You cannot do that naturally. This new birth enables you to be what you cannot be naturally. Every one of us can come and sit on these pews naturally. But not a one of us can have an intimate, abiding relationship with the Spirit of God, one-on-one, whether we're in this church or back in a closet somewhere, or at work, or driving down the road, there can be this abiding intimacy with the Son of God. Do you know that? Do you know that intimacy with Him? Look at the second thing. Not only does He enable you to be what you cannot naturally be, He enables you to do what you cannot naturally do. You remember Romans 12? Look at verse 1 and 2. Where is Romans anyway? You can find it in my Bible. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2, and do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Have you ever made an attempt to not be conformed to the pattern of this world and it not work? Have you ever decided, I'm not going to think like the world thinks anymore, and it doesn't happen? Why do we have such a hard time not conforming to the culture of the world that's around us? I would tell you, but I'm not certain I know the answer to that. But I do know that it is impossible It is impossible to not conform to the world around you in the natural state. And only when you have been born again by the Spirit of God can you live in a natural world. I hope you understand this. From an elevated position. And that elevated position is in an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God. And only then can being conformed to this world not have a hold on you. Only God can bring that about. That means you can do things that you cannot naturally do. Let's see if I can give you an illustration. Some of you remember Twyla Herod. Do you remember Twyla Herod? Some of you do. You remember her dad's name was Ron Herod? You remember hearing Ron Herod is preached in this pulpit? He was pastoring in the Midwest somewhere. He lived in a parsonage, which was across a parking lot from the church. And they were doing a revival services. One night he and his wife left and went ahead to be in the service. Twyla was getting ready and was coming later. Twyla was in the singles group, if you guys remember back in the 90s. They left and went on to church to get prepared for the service. That night, one of the boys who lived close to them came over and walked in the house up the stairs to Twyla's bedroom and raped her. How do you think Ron felt when he had gone to church, prepared for revival services, and his daughter winds up molested at his home? How do you think he felt? She told who had done it. They did the trial for the boy, and the boy was sentenced to prison and went to prison. Ron said after a few weeks, a few months, the Spirit of God who was on the inside cleared out all the bitterness and anger and wrath that he had for this boy. And God sent him down to the prison to witness to him. And after several encounters with him, this boy gave his heart to Jesus. And Ron started going on a weekly basis to disciple him. You want to try that naturally? You see, when God bursts His Spirit on the inside of you, He places inside of you a new nature and a new disposition that's totally different from anything this natural man can accomplish. Look at the third thing. He gives you the ability to go where you cannot naturally go. If you turn a couple of books to 2 Corinthians and look at chapter 5, and let me begin reading in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. What's gone? Remember Ezekiel's description? The old heart of stone he removes. The old spirit that you had from birth is gone. He removed. And he slipped a new nature on the inside of you and a new disposition. The old is gone. He birthed a new nature on the inside of you. So it is a brand new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Listen carefully. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. An ambassador from the United States to any other country is a citizen of this country in a foreign country, representing the interest of this country to them. When you were born again by the Spirit of God, He placed in you His nature and gave to you and me this ministry of reconciliation, which made us His ambassadors because we are a citizen of His country now. And we are representing Him to a world that's all around us, so that we can share with them who He is and what He is and what His attributes are and what He will do for those who are willing to come to Him. That's your ministry if you have been born again. Are you sharing Him with those around you? Are you going where only He will take you? There's a team from this body right now in a foreign country. Can people go who are not born again to foreign countries? Of course. Can God use them to share the truth? Of course. But as an ambassador for Him, it comes from one whose citizenship is in heaven. Can He use others? Did He use Pharaoh? He can use anybody He chooses. But only those who have been born again by the Spirit of God are a true representative of His country where we are citizens, to declare Him to a culture that's around us, where we shop, where we work. Anytime we're around, that culture needs to see in you the attributes of the Lord Jesus. I've said two times already, Satan has a counterfeit for every truth. Be sure that there's been a new birth and you have an ongoing, intimate relationship with Him. Let's pray.